The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dynamite!
Hey. Dynamite show, everybody. Paul Fontaine and Jeff Hawkins on the Fight Game Media Network. Revolutions.
Do we want to explain what's going on right now as I get deluged with more idiots in my friggin' Twitter feed?
Sure, yeah. Jeff didn't like the last segment of Dynamite.
You're right.
Actually, I'm sorry. You never even said you didn't like it.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I said it made no logical sense. Shut up and go back and watch your WWE. It's like, what are you people? And it's just the dumbest ones, too. And it's because they follow Third World Robert over there.
Shut up and enjoy the show. Well, you didn't say you didn't.
Shut up and enjoy the show. Your parents inbred. You know, it's just, I hate wrestling fans sometimes. Not you all who are listening to this, but other.
Oh, no. All our fans are great, but this freaking show.
I'm a little more kid gloves on this show than you are. And that's going to be the weird thing is that I'm getting yelled at now on Twitter by, you know, cool guy AEW 42 who says.
I may get canceled after this show because
what
I don't know, like I not like not that's not what I mean, like I don't mean like canceled, you know, like you know, like Kevin Spacey got canceled. I mean like or whatever, what you know, there's people like I mean people may not like me anymore because I didn't like this show. And
we'll talk it through.
And usually when I say I don't like a show, by the time we're done our review, I like it. And when I say a show's the best ever, by the time we're done our review, I've tempered my thoughts. So maybe that'll happen here. But
I know what set them off. I said that they were booking for moments instead of logic.
Oh,
yeah, and that's true. They literally said it on TV. What a moment!
Yeah.
God.
And it's a moment.
I gotta get this out of my system. No wonder advertisers hate wrestling fans because y'all are stupid.
Not you listening.
Not you listening. This is the general you. Yeah. I am so angry right now, but I'm trying to get in a better mood for this.
So we sometimes start with like news of the week, but I have a feeling that we may get enough out of this show that we don't need to do that.
Of news that relates to AEW, though.
Well, we also want to preview Revolution at the end of the show. So that freaking rundown that Excalibur did, oh my God.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Well, no, it wasn't just a lot. It was all over the place. And even he was like, oh, we're going to turbo the Revolution now. And it's like, yeah, I think he was getting this stuff thrown at him, like literally.
Slow down.
Anyways, what's your news?
PW Insider today. Reported in a developing situation that could have quite a negative ripple effect on upcoming events, and I put in Forbidden Door.
Yes, CMLL.
The United States work visas for nearly 20 CMLL stars in Mexico are in the process of being canceled by the United States government. Once that happens, it could take months for new visas to go through the approval process and be issued. These include Volador Jr., Hechicero, Mascara Dorada, Blue Panther,
all the people AEW's been building up for the last month.
Yes. And far be it for me to say this. This sounds like something that Vince would do back in the day. Like drop a dime on the...
I mean, it doesn't have to be Vince. I mean, this
no, it doesn't have to be Vince.
Nick Khan would do it too.
That's what I was saying. I was saying maybe somebody from the Fed dropped the dime. Because to me, I thought Forbidden Door this year was going to be CMLL and AEW.
That's what it was looking like for sure. I mean, because there's really no interest in New Japan. I mean, what are you going to do? David Finlay against Jay White?
That's not a bad match. For AEW, so it doesn't matter.
No, well, that's the thing. Like Okada and Ospreay are their big draws, right? I mean, there's matches you could do. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, Riddle against, you know, Ospreay, for instance, you know, like stuff like that. But I don't know if they want to be booking Riddle after that interview today on Hell Wanted. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I read snippets of that.
Oh my god,
which is interesting.
somebody's blaming Conan.
You know, no, but
Jason says it's CMLL incompetence. Yeah. Well, that's
Cubs fan is solid on the Lucha stuff, so I would believe that.
And honestly, I mean, this was bad.
Yeah. Never attribute to what is it? Never attribute to
Occam's razor.
Never attribute to deviousness what you can attribute to stupidity.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. Yeah.
That could be huge.
Stupid. My Twitter feed continues to.
Oh, and Tony, you know, he's got all his eggs in the CMLL basket, and he may have to find some new eggs.
this could be an interesting, especially since it looks like he's bumping it up for. For Arthur Ashe.
Is that
because you're going to be doing it in Arthur Ashe, right? In like August or whatever.
No, like June.
June, okay, yeah, well, yeah, June, yeah. Summer,
yeah, and then that, and then like moving it off of TV onto pay per view, right?
I like guess Arthur Ashe. Well, Forbidden Door is a pay per view, so
yeah. Oh, and also they're supposedly they're adding another pay per view in April, something to do with Dynasty,
of course.
Whatever. And they moved the Winnipeg. April 10th show.
Saw that one.
To May 1st. So yeah. I assume my guess is that April pay-per-view is going to be that week. And that's the reason why they didn't want to do a show in Winnipeg the week of their pay-per-view would be my guess. I thought
the Winnipeg show would probably revolve around Kenny coming back in some way if he could.
Well, it could be that too. And, you know, that gives him another 3 weeks. So,
yeah.
It's possible. I mean, he was on, he hosts some video game stream and he looked pretty good. Looks like he's dropped like 30 pounds, but you know, he looks healthy and looks good. Looks like Regal's kid's brother.
Remind me, did he have the surgery or did they just decide to wait on
it? I don't know. I thought he was waiting for the surgery and then, if he's still waiting for the surgery, then I mean, he could make an appearance in Winnipeg for sure. And I'm sure he will, but I don't think he's going to be wrestling. Mm-hmm. Jericho, I'm sure, is going to do something. He's probably going to freaking pull some guy he wrestled in, you know, IWA in 1992 and wrestle him in the main event of Dynamite on the go home for a pay-per-view. we'll get to that. And then another thing. Okay, and this will kick into our show review. So last week, when we last spoke,
yes.
We heard from Kevin Ely, who was at ringside. And Hangman was, he was hurt. His ankle was hurt. He was
cussing up a storm.
Cameras, mm-hmm. Don't film me. And so all the people that do shows like us, you know, like, you know, within an hour or two after the Dynamite's over, all reported this injury. And then it came out that Hangman, he's just quote unquote really good at his job. Mm-hmm. And was faking an injury off camera that played into nothing. Except Tony Khan on Monday or Tuesday says, based off of the rumors of an injury to Hangman Page this week, Hangman Page will address his status for Revolution on Wednesday's Dynamite. So that's what we are left with, right? That's what he advertised.
Right. Let me backtrack you a little bit there too, because people jumped all down Sean Ross Sapp's throat, and even Dave's about this. Apparently, there might have been something going on where Hangman might not have been able to make the pay per view, so they needed an out.
Something personal.
And I'm just like, guys, if they're doing an angle to do that, fine, but that doesn't. Sean Ross Sapp just said, I've been told this. He didn't get everybody was like, he's wrong. You know, it's like, guys, you know, he's getting secondhand information about the thing, and he's just saying, this is what I've been told. And we all thought he might have been injured too, because we saw it, it was just an unusual spot. And I'll get into this when we talk about the mat, or when we talk about the first segment here. But it's continue.
Yeah. So they advertise this for tonight's show. And so Tony Khan in storyline.
Yes.
I guess, right? Because it's on Twitter, so that's canon. In storyline, he books a segment to kick off AEW Dynamite where Hangman Page is going to come out and address his status.
Right.
So he comes out, they show highlights of last week, and they show the stuff that we didn't even see. So, you know, even though he was, because I don't think the stuff they showed was stuff that made camera, or if it did, it was very quick. But
I don't think, right. I think you're correct on that.
Yeah. So he's got a crutch. He's limping and he's very somber.
Yes.
And almost babyface-ish, you know, in his promo.
Very.
And and he says, I got to find my notes here. I feel like an idiot for typing all this up, but crowd's chanting cowboy shit at him. And he says, doesn't look like a promising start to my speech. I don't say this enough, so I'll say it. This was a new endeavor for my friends, this AEW wrestling, but it was a goal to me to make the most of what was laid out in front of me. Winning the world championship in 2021 was the biggest accomplishment of my career. Everybody cheers. That's why it hurts so much to have this opportunity in front of me again and have this. And dude's almost crying. And he says, when AEW decided that the world championship would be decided a three-way match, I said it was horse shit. They bleeped that out. And I meant it. I said it should be a singles match, but it looks like I had the wrong two competitors. I'm going to apologize to Swerve or Show Joe, but I tell you the truth. I'm always honest with you. This Sunday at Revolution, I will not be able to compete. His exact words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Spoiler alert, he's lying.
Yes.
But he flat out said, I will not be able to compete. Later on, Joe comes out and he says, I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know if you're going to be here or not. Like, so Joe knew he was lying? Did Tony Khan know he was lying? Did Tony Khan know whether or not he was cleared? He
knew trust but verify.
He knew the guys in the Meat Madness match were not competing, so he had to change that. But he gives Hangman a segment to kick off the show to address his injury status. So in Tony Khan knew that Hangman was faking it and was just trying to swerve. Am I right?
He basically, okay. This is what you're getting mad about? Because I would think there'd be something else that would be bugging you.
Well, there's more.
But I'll circle back to that when I get that.
Okay. Well, should I go into Swerve or do you want to answer that question?
No, I want to kind of answer both questions and go into this because the thing that doesn't make sense that you're looking for here is why did he fake the injury in the match?
Yes, in storyline.
I mean, in the actual match, in the six man last week, we know why he did it.
Oh, for kayfabe, you know,
for the angle purpose.
So the whole reason he faked this whole thing and set off the internet on a blaze so he could
come out the next week and hit Swerve with a crutch. That makes no sense.
Yeah, that's it. Like that's all he did. Like this guy drank blood.
But this segment itself.
Yeah,
he goes in and goes, I need to make an announcement, Tony. Can I get some time tonight?
Sure. So he faked out Tony. Tony thought he was going to pull out the match. Okay. Yes. Okay. Now there was an out here where during Swerve's speech, I thought, okay, maybe if I'm playing along, Hangman really is hurt. Okay. He's not going to wrestle on Sunday, but he got so pissed off with something that Swerve said that he snapped. And I'll get into it. And if they would have done that, I would have been okay with this. But Swerve comes out. He's out with a mic and he says, this last 6 months, and he's smiling at him. Crowd's chanting, Swerve's out. Chief's out. He goes, man, we've been to war. I've tried to kill you. You tried to kill me. Might have crossed the line a couple times, but I didn't expect this to happen. I targeted you because of what you accomplished, and to say I didn't respect that would be a lie. He says, the funny thing about fate is you can't escape it and you can't stop destiny. My destiny awaits me this Sunday at Revolution as I go on to become AEW World Champion. At this point, him and Hangman and Swerve are face to face. They look like they're about to hug. Crowd's chanting, hug it out, I think, at one point. Cue Joe's music. He comes in, he goes, Destiny? You guys talking about Destiny? What do we have here? Two bigger enemies trying to hug it out, huh? He says, a lot of lies being told here, so let me correct them and tell this audience a few truths. I'm the real man around here, first off. Secondly, even though I don't understand whether you're in or not, Hangman, or should I call you Hopalong?
That's a good line. I like that
yeah,
line.
Yeah, sure. I hear you being called two young, hungry competitors, but that's ridiculous. You're hungry, accomplished wrestlers. What you need to realize, you're only hungry because of me, and I'm starving you both. I'm Samoa Joe. I'm the AEW World Champion. And whether it's one or both of you come Revolution, I'm going to whip both your asses. So, like, Joe, I guess he doesn't believe Hangman? You didn't hear him?
You shouldn't have to believe him. I mean, he's a wrestler. I mean, Joe is basically a smart heel here.
Yeah, and Swerve's a dumb babyface.
A little bit, but
Swerve grabs the mic. He says, I'm someone who went from unemployed to headlining pay-per-views. Someone who went from being a cruiserweight to wrestling for the heavyweight title. And this is where he says, I broke into a man's home and threatened his infant child. And the camera flashed over to Hangman and his facial expression changed when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, they could have used that. And said, like, when he heard that, he snapped. And he's going to – but then that made him maybe make him a baby face. I don't know. You know, and they don't want him to be a baby face.
You're overthinking this a little bit, but you're on a good track here. And let me go. Number one, I actually liked this segment in terms of execution.
I hated it.
In terms of you said it was like a Russo-like swerve. And I was just like, no, this is wrestling. This is what it does. The problem was somebody gave – Swerve some bad notes because Hangman played it well. Hangman's the disingenuous babyface. He played his role to perfection because he's like, you know, being very sad. Hey, I'm not gonna be able to make it to Greensboro, et cetera, et cetera. Swerve's problem was he went a little bit heelish in here instead of saying, hey, you know what? Bygones be bygones. I'm gonna beat. You know, he didn't, you know, they were playing that line between Swerve still being.
He could have even said, I'm going to beat Joe. And when you're ready, I'll defend against you.
That's what I was getting at. He could have done that. But then people would have jumped on him for saying, well, he hates the guy. He's been a blood feud with him for 6 months. I get that, too. So they're trying to toe that line of both that he's both a babyface, but he's also a supreme, you know, games master and whatever in terms of the heelishness that he was doing before and not going so far away from the heelish stuff that you forget it and you know, retconning it where it's like, I'm a babyface and now I'm completely good. They're doing that whole shade of gray thing. And it didn't work to me. I thought Hangman was great. And I thought Joe was great. I just thought Swerve was the missing thing here because he's obviously the babyface here. And he keeps referring, to heel stuff he did. So it's like they're trying to make him a smart baby face by making him stupid in some way.
So here's my bigger issue with this. We spent, I don't know how long this was, 15 minutes on an opening segment here and the main event of last week's show.
Okay.
For what?
For build.
What build?
It builds to the three-way.
Also Hangman could hit him with a crutch.
Yes.
That's it. That's all he did. He didn't lay him out. He didn't bloody him. These guys.
He knocked him out cold, even though he came to. I didn't like him coming to necessarily, but now you have an excuse.
He
was knocked loopy, and if he loses, it's because he wasn't at 100%.
Between that weird six-man match at the end of last week's show and this segment here, I'm less interested in this match than I was 2 weeks ago.
I don't disagree necessarily, but this is pro wrestling.
That's what I'm saying.
This should have happened maybe 3 weeks ago or so. And then they just continue to build the three people going in and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm less tough on it than you are.
I don't think you needed to have a swerve. If you know, like, I guess, you know, and can we, has Hangman churned yet? Because I think this is
the official turn. I think this is it.
Okay. Because last week when I questioned why he was teaming with two baby faces, I was told that I don't pay attention to the show and he's still a baby face.
That's all right. Look, I'll give you some of my fans right now if you'd like.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. I've read your comments. So, yeah. So he says, after he made that comment, he said, I'll take your title. You might want to go back to commentary and wearing a poncho again. It's funny that he said that because I just watched some matches from that WrestleMania.
I laughed at that. I thought that was a good line.
Yeah, but then you're also reminding your fans, that he was.
Yeah, old. I mean, yeah. Joe was great here. I mean, Joe was the best part of this whole thing.
He was, because he's not an idiot.
Yes.
So he says, I'm on the verge of making history this Sunday at Revolution. I'll become AEW World Champion. And then in mid-sentence, that's where Hangman attacked him, and Joe smiled. The announcers like all of a sudden churned on Hangman after they've been like just behind him the whole time. He's like, he said he's faking it. And then Hangman screaming at him, you will never have this championship.
But the staging of this was good because they put on tight shot on Swerve. And there wasn't any of the WWE,
you didn't see it coming from a mile away.
Yeah, you didn't see it coming from a mile away. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah. Like I said, the attack was fine. The whole setup I thought was unnecessary.
Okay.
I thought they could have found another way for Hangman to lay out Swerve. That's all I'm saying. He could have walked out on that tag match last week. To me, that would have been better. He could have walked out on the tag match, left his two partners to face the three heels, and then attacked Swerve after the match.
All right.
You could have done that. And then done a promo this week to say, I don't even care. I don't want that title. All my goal is to make sure you don't get it. Because that's his goal. I don't think he wants the title. Hangman. That to me seems the character of Hangman Page doesn't even care about this title. All he cares about is making sure Swerve doesn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm not paying attention to the show, but that's what I feel like.
That's because you like WWE too much.
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So they tell us that we're going to a promo with the Bucks, except they go to the parking lot and there's a limo arriving, and out gets Matt and Nick, and Nick's in a pink suit, pink hat. And Matt says, you ready for work? Let's clock in. And then they walk into the building, and the camera's following them. And it's like, I'm wondering how long this is going to go. And then they just magically run into Renee. Oh, and this was earlier today, I think, is what they put up on the thing. And Renee walks them to Huntsville, says, ahead of your match with Sting and Darby, last time I saw you, you were having an interesting business meeting with Ric Flair. And Nick says, yeah, it went great. And he asks if Renee sees Sting. And then he says, as this is his final Dynamite appearance, we're just dying to thank him for his contributions to the company. And we want to do a little exit interview with them. And they bang their baseball bats. And then Nick asks the cameraman to follow them. And they leave and they're going, Sting, Stinger, Stinger, where are you? And this was a show long thing where they'd keep coming back to them. And it was the Bucks trying to find Sting all night. Renee wearing one of Hardy's shirts. Yeah, I didn't write down what Renee was wearing. I didn't really.
Looked like she was wearing chaps, but they were just jeans with holes in strategic places.
Yeah.
I like
wasn't her best fashion night. That's all.
I like know a lot that's about all. Women's fashion, do you?
I know what I like. And this wasn't it.
I liked the staging of this. I like that she staged the interviews for when people come in to go to work.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of clever. I do. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, and I like these kind of show long angle type things.
It'd be better if they were with better actors, but
true. But you know, I'm taking it for what I can get.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, the show long thing is good because it reminds you that we're going to see Sting, and you know, it's theoretically is going to keep you because every time they come to the Bucks, you think, oh, maybe we're going to see Sting this segment. So
you're gonna
keep watching because as I said in our little chat, there was a point in the show that I would have shut it off. If I didn't have this show to do, or if I was just watching as a fan, but the only reason I was keeping, besides this show, is because of Sting, because I wanted to see Sting's last appearance. So, you know, but if it wasn't for that, I would have shut it off at different points. So we got highlights of Bryan Danielson and Jun Akiyama, which happened on Collision for some reason, and I mean the match was fine.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't. I hear. So we got Blackpool Combat Club. I guess this was set up on the event match. Again, they probably explained it too because I skipped through the highlights since I'd seen the match. But it was John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Bryan Danielson against FTR and Eddie Kingston. So yeah, after the Akiyama match, Danielson. Pretended to respect Akiyama, but then he low-blowed him, and then Kingston didn't like that, and then it turned into the BCC attack in Kingston. FTR made the save, and that set up this match. So they have this match, and this is a six-man match. All these guys are great. I don't know. I didn't like this match very much. They went through two commercial breaks. The work was good. I'd say the best spots in the match were when Cash was... You know, the babyface in peril, and then, you know, he's great at that. And then he tags in Dax, and then they just redid the whole thing again, and Dax was the babyface in peril. So that stuff was good. I think that was all before the second break. After the second break, this match fell apart. And when I say it fell apart, I think it was by design. What happened was Claudio gets Kingston, and he does the swing, right? The giant swing. And then Danielson drop kicks him mid swing, and then he goes for the cover. And then the story of this thing was like Danielson and Kingston kept trying to like steal pins. Like whenever they saw the other guy was down, they would just jump in and get a pin. But at this point, like we got Claudio and Eddie in there, and then Danielson does that drop kick, and then he does the pin. And I'm like, I have no idea who's legal. And then all of a sudden, everybody's in the ring. And they're all brawling and they're all chopping and they're doing these choreographed spots where like, you know, all the BCC are doing, or no, it was Eddie and FTR are doing the Kawada chops. And then the BCC are doing the elbows of death. And they're just going back and forth and they're doing all this choreographed shit. The ref is trying to get the non-legal guys out of the ring. And he's like going to each one. Nobody has any idea who's legal. And this went on for, I'm not exaggerating, at least 5 minutes. Where all six guys were in the ring doing shit and the ref was just there and he might as well have just thrown up his hands. Twan Mack asks, is this an ODQ match? I have no idea. I don't think it was.
No.
So eventually we had a spot. And I will also say this. The crowd was hot at the beginning. They were going nuts for these guys. By the end of this match, this crowd was deathly quiet. Like they got no idea what's going on. Like nobody does. And so I'm trying to get to the end here. Danielson, okay, so they did the spot where everyone's hitting their moves. And then finally, Danielson does a Busaku knee, and then he hits a Saito suplex on Eddie, does another Busaku knee. Then he says, I'm going to kick his effing head in. And then he kicks the crap out of him, puts on the triangle, does a Nate Diaz pose, and the ref stops the match. Eddie passes out. And that's that. So, you know, the BCC wins. And they run off through the crowd, and I didn't like it. I don't know. I will say I gave the thing 4 stars. Like, you know, like the work was good. I just, none of it made any sense.
It doesn't make sense in the world of this is a go home show for a pay-per-view. So you'd think that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, and I'm reminded because like I have Ole Anderson brain right now.
Oh yeah.
RIP and, Ole. And to me, you'd think the Blackpool Combat Club would target one of the guys and work on a body part or something to try and put him out of the match.
Well, they kind of that to me
sounds like a little bit, but you know, I agree with, I think this match was a little too long. I think it was a little too cute with, you know, all three getting their moves and then all the heels get their moves and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like that spot because I mean, look, if you had this in the wrestling of my youth, the baby faces all put on the figure four on the horseman and this crowd goes wild. Instead, it's, and now the heels who aren't really heels because everybody cheers the Blackpool Combat Club get to do their elbow thing too. And then it kind of turns into a WWE six man tag where everybody gets a big move to clear somebody out of the ring.
Yeah.
I'm with you a bit. I mean, but this is a general complaint I have about modern wrestling too,
that is a thing with modern wrestling. And we actually had this chat in the Discord because one of our younger guys, and I think he listens to this show. I'm not sure what his actual name is, but he's cult of Squared Circle in the Discord. Uh-huh. He's a young dude. I think he was born in the late 90s. And there was, I think Rhea Ripley had a tweet that she sent out. It was something about how she didn't like fans that boo when.
Oh,
like,
I know what this is about. That's a bunch of people booed. Alpha Academy girl.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Maxine. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, how dare you do that when she's, you know, trying to improve, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know.
Yeah, but it's the new fans. Like they don't really boo baby faces and heels, or not even like who they like and who they don't like. They cheer like moves and you know, and this is awesome, and or you effed up, you know.
We want tables. Of it. It's the ECWification of wrestling as well as
and happening. It is like it started with ECW and then like it kind of continued into
Ring of Honor
now, and it's what AEW is built on.
Yeah.
And so now, I mean, and this brings you to like a match like Takeshita and Will Hobbs, where you got two heels and they're going to go out there and have the match of the night and everyone's going to cheer everything they do. And then they'll do whatever angle they're going to do. You know, Will will probably turn babyface. But I mean, at this point, they're both heels.
Yeah. There's a lot of this weird stuff tonight where it's just like they're trying to toe the line because people like people. And so, people don't cheer baby faces and don't boo heels.
They cheer who they like and they don't like
quote unquote good wrestlers and they boo bad wrestlers type of a thing. Yeah.
Now, if you can get a guy like Hangman, you know, they can actually get him booed, even though secretly people probably like him because of, you know, but I'll bet you anything in that match, they're going to be cheering him.
People play the part of the crowd. That's what they're doing. They're not the crowd.
Hangman's going to hit that buckshot on Swerve, and people are going to cheer. Like, at some point, you know, and then
maybe
break it up.
Unless he cheats beforehand, and hits it, and then everybody starts to boo because he's going to try and.
Maybe he does the low blow, and then he hits it. Yeah, they might boo, but I mean, they'll cheer when you know, like when people hit their moves, like they cheer because that's what they do. But, anyways, so this was. I don't know. And then Danielson, he wouldn't release the hold after the bell. And then he finally did. And then he said to the camera, Sunday, Eddie, your ass is getting choked out. And then left through the crowd. So, I mean,
I thought it would have been more dramatic if Eddie had, if the ref had stopped it during the kicks to the face.
Yeah. Yeah. They could have done that. But then he, you know, Danielson got his thing. I think they really made it on thick because Eddie's probably beaten him.
That's why I'm figuring too, but still at the same time, it's just like I think it's, you know, but I'm looking for what gets more heat.
Yeah.
And the thing is, this is more of a cute thing that Danielson does to the audience type of a thing where it's like, now I'm gonna play heel for a little while, you know, that kind of thing. And you're just like, okay, yeah.
And he doesn't do the I'm gonna kick his, he doesn't say fucking head in anymore. He just says head in because
it's now PG.
Yeah, because they're bleeping everything now. They those AEW WBD people, they don't like this TV-14 stuff anymore. They showed some highlights of Chris Jericho from very early in his career facing Atlantis in CMLL, and that's setting up a match for later tonight with Atlantis' son, Atlantis Jr. For some reason, I don't know why, but I guess it's a match Jericho wanted. And in fact, that's what they said. And then they went to an interview with Renee Paquette and with Jericho, and he's wearing his old Corazon de Leon jacket, leather jacket. And she asked him about the match, and he says, 30 years ago when I first started wrestling in Mexico, I got thrown in the deep end very quickly. I got put in with legends like Bestia, Negro Casas, Atlantis. He mentioned a few other names. But he says, I requested a match with Atlantis Jr. to replay the favor. He says, I'm going to show you a few things you've never seen before, a lesson in violence. I'm going to show you what Chris Jericho can do, what Corazon de Leon can do. And then he said about 30 seconds of Spanish, which they didn't translate. And then he smiled. And
there was an Ocho in there.
Yeah, I'm sure there was.
Interview made no sense to me.
No.
I'm going to be honest with you, because it's one of those things where it's like, and it missed a moment for me. Because I thought, because Chris Jericho was in full on podcaster mode, I would call it, one of that fake thing. Yeah. He could have given an honest thing about, you know what, back in the day when I was in Mexico, this guy took me on. Why is he threatening a friend's kid with violence?
I don't know. Like, this is what this I don't understand. Should have
been babyface versus babyface. And this came off so heelish to me that I went, what is Jericho doing?
And then when they did the match, both guys were heels.
Yes.
Oh,
this made no sense whatsoever to me. I'm just kind of like going, okay.
Yeah, like, I respect you so much.
Why is he not saying, you know what, when Atlantis asked, you know, for his first match in the States, even if it's not, we'll say it is, you know, wrestle his son. And I would be honored to wrestle Atlantis Jr., the son of my former tag team partner in CMLL.
Or he could have went the other way and said, this guy treated me like crap when I was young, yes, and now I'm going to pay his son back. Well,
see, no, you can't, because he just turned babyface, you know, a while ago. I mean, you don't want to make him Orndorff where he's just going.
So then why did he pull his mask off 10 seconds into the match?
Again, you are bringing up salient points.
Yeah.
That apparently Twitter hates me for now.
Oh, my God.
I haven't even looked back, but I'm sure I have about 60 mentions now, and I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But yes, I thought this should have been straight ahead. You know, it's an honor. We're going to go in there. We're going to have a match. And I'm not going to take it easy. And I'm not going to take it easy on you. And I'm going to, you know, just because you're the son of my former tag team partner. And then at the end of the night, we'll shake hands. That kind of promo, you know, what I call the Brad Armstrong promo.
Yeah.
That's all Brad Armstrong ever did for a promo, really, was, hey, I just want to have a good competition. And at the end, we'll shake hands, you know, whatever. Just that's what I wanted. I wanted honest Chris Jericho. I want him being, you know, thankful for his career and somebody who meant so much to it being at that arena that night. And I get to now wrestle his son, much like Atlantis took me under his wing. I'm going to now take his son under my wing and show him a few things in the ring. That's all he had to do. And instead it's, I'm going to show you violence.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat the crap out of your kid, Atlantis.
In front of you.
Yeah. In front of you.
Yeah, they didn't even actually point out that he was going to be at ringside. I thought they should actually mention that, but I don't know. We go to commercial. I'm sorry,
this made me more mad than anything on the show, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Was the Jericho thing? Yeah.
Now there's a lot. So we go to break. We come back, and Tony Schiavone's in the ring, and Excalibur's like joking with him in the headset, and I didn't really see the point of that. He's like, I don't care what anybody says. I think Schiavone's a great guy. Whatever. But he says, there's great wrestlers all over the world. Many of them are coming right here to AEW, but none is bigger and better and more exciting than Will Ospreay. And he calls him down to the ring. Fans go nuts. He hugs Tony. He's all smiling. And Tony says, Will Ospreay is all elite. And then he says, how you doing, Huntsville, you cheeky scalawags? And he says, thank you very much for this reception. He says, I told you in November that I had my obligations fulfilled. Well, my obligations with New Japan Pro Wrestling are all done. So I took myself to Vegas for 10 days. I got pissed with the missus. It was great. He's just in his glory. And then he said, Delta lost my bags, but they found them. And he said, so I'm here now. He says, I look like Kermit the Frog on leg day, because he's dressed in all green. And he says, I'm here.
For an explanation, Paul. Appreciate that.
He says, I'm here for full-time work. I'm all elite, bruv. and fans are chanting Ospreay. And he says, but some of you are forgetting, this isn't my first rodeo here. My first pay-per-view match, I beat Orange Cassidy. I went over to Canada. I beat Kenny Omega in front of 13,000 of his own countrymen. I pinned the very first AEW World Champion, Chris Jericho, in front of 80,000 fans at Wembley. So make no mistake, the territory might be different, but I'm rolling with the Callis family and everything's running smoothly.
What? Hey, remember I beat three of your favorites and I'm a member of one of the big heel stables here at AEW.
Ospreay. Yeah. So Hugh Callis.
Who Callis comes out? No, hold on. We can't move on. Who approved this promo? That's what Will I want to know.
Will Ospreay did.
Hey, remember when I beat Orange Cassidy, who's gonna be on here later? Wrestling, yeah. Your big baby face.
Remember,
champion?
I beat Chris Jericho. He's wrestling the main event.
Chris Jericho. Remember, I beat Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm a member of the Callis family. Let's give it up for Don.
I'm rolling with the Callis family, and everything's running smoothly. So out comes Callis, and Taz puts over his entrance music, and he's out there with Hobbs and Takeshita. Everyone's smiling. They all hug. So Ospreay hugs Callis, he hugs Hobbs, but he kind of gives Takeshita the side eye. And Callis says, there's nothing more I like than a Don Callis family reunion. Ospreay's got this big smile on his face. When I think about the talent, I think about Fletcher, Hobbs, Takeshita, and Will Ospreay, an embarrassment of riches. You talk about all these, what we accomplished together. And you said, Don, how are we going to top that? He says, I put you in the ring with Jericho. You beat him on the biggest night of your life. We're going to top that by having a match of the year, Will. And the fans are chanting, you suck. And he says, we're going to top that by having a match of the decade. And in order to do that, I need the two best rope-to-rope wrestlers in the world, the Alpha, Konosuke Takeshita, and Will, by God, Ospreay. And he said, this is just like when Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen would go hard in practices, but then they'd come together and they'd win championships. So it doesn't matter which of you wins. The real winner will be the Don Callis family. And Will's just, yeah! And he shakes hands. And I got to remember, a key point is they didn't charge money to see Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan practice. although someone pointed out on Twitter, if they did, they probably would have made a lot.
Well, Pippen and Jordan didn't really like each other either. You know, that's true. One of those
things. Well, I'm not sure these guys like each other either.
I mean, in real life.
I think in real life they probably do.
Let's.
There's more, but yeah.
I know, but if they're turning Will, why don't we just turn him here?
I don't know.
Why doesn't Will just say, hey, great to see the family back. Kyle's having a visa issue.
So is that why he's not there?
Yeah.
How many champions do they have that can't wrestle?
Well, yeah. Where's Sammy?
I don't know.
No, that's what Will should be asking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where's Sammy? He was here last time.
Yeah, he was part of this family last time. Boom. Instant question. Callis has to explain himself. Can't. They just beat each other up. And so we get this stare down, and it's a goofy stare down because Will's like, oh, you're so much taller than I am. Oh.
Or he could have done, like, you know, as soon as he said that I did this for you, and then Will's like, hold on a second, bruv. I beat Chris Jericho, not you.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the babyface part of this Will thing, but at the same time. Then it took a turn, and you're just like, all right, cool.
But you know what?
But hey, shut up and enjoy the program.
That's it. I don't think anybody cares. He's going to go out there. He's going to have a match of the night. Dave Meltzer's going to give it 6 stars.
Yes.
The family's going to turn on him after the match. Will's going to come out next week on Dynamite, say bruv 15 times, and everyone's happy. And then they'll set up his next program with Kazuchika Okada, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. So they just stared at each other, and then Ospreay extends a hand. Takeshita shook his hand, and then Will tries to walk away, but Takeshita pulls him back, and then Takeshita does the same thing, and then Will pulls him back, and Callis is smiling. This is great. He says, you're both the best. And the crowd's chanting for Ospreay, and Callis is trying to get them to chant Takeshita at the same time. That was funny.
Yes. I like that too.
Yeah, but it was so weird.
This should be your main event heel stable. I'm sorry. It's just still one of those things that gnaws at me, even though the Undisputed Kingdom ain't doing all that much either right now. So yeah,
I don't know. Did you see that Will Hobbs Sammy match on Rampage?
Yes.
What'd you think of it? I hated it.
I didn't mind it. I was just going, we are a week away from a pay-per-view.
Well,
this is, yeah. And wasn't it Collision at Rampage?
Or am no, it was I wrong? Rampage. It was Rampage.
Okay. Well, yeah. I watched it.
Oh, wait a minute. No, you're right. It was Collision.
Yeah, right. It was Collision. And I'm going, you're killing yourself for this many fans when this should be a pay-per-view type of thing.
Well, not just that. So they did a spot near the end of the match where Sammy puts Hobbs on some tables and Hobbs lays. And yeah. he lays there. And Sammy takes forever to set up this giant freaking ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Finally gets to the top of this ladder, does his dive 20 feet in the air, puts Hobbs through this table, right? So Hobbs was so hurt that he had to lie there for 5 minutes waiting for this thing. Within 30 seconds, they're both up and fighting in the ring. And less than 2 minutes later, Hobbs put him through a table and won the match.
Yeah.
So that move was so devastating. Yeah, the logic.
Paul, we are in the indie realm of major companies now. Where,
like, I would have liked them to have sold that. You know. But yeah. I don't know.
Look, I'm all about selling. Nobody sells anymore. You know that.
I know. So we go to the back, and it's Renee with Eddie Kingston, and she asks him about Danielson. But before he can say anything, the Bucks show up, and then they start talking, and Renee's like, "We're live, guys." And then Nick looks at Eddie, and he's like, "Why can't you just show up for work in proper clothes?" And he says, like, "Am I gonna have to fine you?" And then Matt tells him, "You're gonna need to work on your presentation. You should be wearing a sports coat." And then he looks at him and says, "Should we implement a dress code?"
And Tim's, that's the part I laughed at too.
Yeah. Taz is like really like hoping that they don't do a dress code. Yeah. And then they leave and they're like, Stinger, where are you? And Eddie just shakes his head and walks off. And I keep
not the best use of Eddie for me, because Eddie's a talker. So I want to hear him talk. I want to hear him respond. Well,
okay. So this brings me to two things I wanted to say.
Although this gets heat. So
Eddie Kingston won best promo in the Wrestling Observer Awards. And your Dave Meltzer pointed out that, like, all he ever does in his promos is whine about how he doesn't get enough promo time.
Yes.
And Danielson actually pointed that out in his promo on, I think it was Collision.
Yeah, it was Collision. Now he had the perfect deconstruction of an Eddie Kingston.
Oh my God. I was just like, preach it, Danielson. Preach it. I was, that was one award I kind of questioned. I actually voted for Will Ospreay, believe it or not, bruv. I just love that dude. All right. Next up, we got an open challenge for the AW International Championship. It's an open challenge.
Hold on. Did the Bucks segment, did this end? Oh, no. That's ended with Eddie staring. I was saying,
yeah,
we had already done the next one. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
We get more Bucks later.
Yeah.
So we get the open challenge, and it's an open challenge, even though they've already announced the opponent and they'd advertised it earlier in the show. I don't really understand. I don't think they understand what an open challenge is. But anyways, it was Orange Cassidy against Nick Wayne for some reason. And here's what
it means. We're going to book what we're going to book.
Yeah, and you're going to like it. Yeah. Tony mentioned the death of Ole Anderson. He says we're heartbroken. He also mentioned Soul Train Mike Jones, a.k.a. Virgil. Yep. And Taz agreed. Excalibur said send their best to their family and friends. So Nick was out there with Mother Wayne, Killswitch, and Christian. Did you see them at ringside? Mother Wayne is like a head taller than either of them two.
He's also wearing like angle heels though too.
Yeah. But it was a really weird visual. So I thought that was weird, but eventually Christian got involved. He pushed Cassie up the top rope and the ref didn't see it, but he kicked them all out anyways. And they went through a break. They come back from the break and the crowd was dead. So that tells me they weren't too into this match. And I would say it was borderline an enhancement match for Orange Cassidy. Nick Wayne didn't get a ton of offense in. Orange Cassidy hit all his moves. He did get one reversal that they did, but Nick Wayne didn't even get to try his Wayne's World. But he did hit a dragon suplex at one point. And then out came Oh, yeah. So the Kingdom showed up. They distracted, and that's when he hit the Dragon Suplex. But then out come Trent and Rocky, and they start brawling with the Kingdom. So I assumed at this point, if they haven't announced it yet, they're going to announce an ROH Tag Team title match, either for the pay-per-view or for the pre-show. It's going to be the Kingdom against Trent and Rocky, is what I'm assuming. Wayne removed the top turnbuckle pad. Not exactly sure why, because it didn't play into anything. Out comes Danny Garcia, and that distracted Nick Wayne, and Orange Cassidy hit his orange punch and got the win. It was fine.
I think I might have liked Daniel Garcia to have run off Christian and company.
Yeah.
Just to plug that on the go-home show, but I assume they're probably going to do that on Collision.
But they had already been kicked out, so they weren't there.
No, that's true. No, this is fine.
Yeah, it was cromulent.
There was too much shenanigans. There's all night there's too much shenanigans going on at ringside. It felt very Connecticut.
Another reason I hated this show. And actually Connecticut doesn't do it as much anymore.
All right.
All right.
Enjoy your show, Jeff. All right, cool.
Back to Renee with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, or Scissors Gang, as Dave Meltzer calls them. So you talked about their big win on Collision, and you're starting to gel as a group, and Jay says, yeah, we are gelling. And he says, I was apprehensive at first, but we had our wires crossed, but I'm all in now. And then Billy, they asked Billy, and he says, Max, what was going on with your rap? And Max is like, did anyone notice? Max screwed up his rap something fierce.
Yes.
And I think they're trying to make us think it was on purpose now, because Max was making faces in the background afterwards. So I think this may be leading to a heel turn by the Acclaim, but I'm not positive. Austin says, we should have Austin and the Acclaim to wrestle on the Collision now. And then Bowens is like, no. Let's do the Acclaimed and Austin Gunn. And everyone's like, yeah, that's great. So it's the second straight time Austin Gunn has suggested something, and then someone else suggests the exact same thing, and everyone agrees with the second person. I'm not exactly sure what the point of that is either. But Jay White says, everyone loves the Acclaimed, bang, bang. And Austin is like doing the gun symbol to the camera the whole time, and he doesn't do the bang, bang. So that was weird. I think I'm reading too much into this. I don't think they have any idea where any of this is going.
I think everybody just wants the turn already.
Yeah. And I don't even know who's going to turn on
you. My fans, and you're just like, this isn't the comedy gold that they think it is.
Not even close. I actually think,
I don't mind them too. I think the thing is, you know what it's really missing? It's missing Juice Robinson.
Yes. I think we may end up with Max Caster and the Guns as a team out of all this.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I feel it feels like Max Caster's churning, and I don't think Anthony Bowens is going to churn. So
I also just don't think Jay White makes a very good baby face in this role, because he says seems disingenuous right now.
He should do the reverse promo of what Swerve did. Went from headlining a pay-per-view to
homeless,
doing scissoring with the Bang Bang Scissor Gang in backstage segments. Booker of the Year, Tony Khan. Oh no, he didn't get Booker of the Year this year. He got second.
No, he did
place.
Not.
Or promoter. He should have got Promoter of the Year. He really should have. But
I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
About the Observer Awards, I really don't.
Speaking of don't care, we got Chris Statlander and Sky Blue. This was the rubber match for them, because I guess they've each won one match that they've had in the past. I could have sworn they've wrestled like 50 times, but
it feels that way, doesn't
twice.
It?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Chris was out with Willow and Stoke, and that would play into stuff. And so they, you know what, they had a match. The match was actually, I thought, not bad. Like,
I'm the same way. I was not offended by this match.
No, I got into it with people last week. Everyone was complaining about that Deonna match, saying it was like the worst match in Dynamite history and all this stuff. And it's like,
I've seen worse matches on Dynamite.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but I mean, it was fine. It was, you know, there was a botched spot at the end, but you know, it was just, but no, I mean, man, that match sucked. You're an idiot. Oh, whatever. Fine. This match, I'm sure we're going to hear this was bad too, but it wasn't. It had a horrible finish, but other than that, it was fine.
Horrible finish and horrible synergy, but continue.
Oh my God. So, well, I'm not even going to bother with the match. I mean, whatever. Julia Hart was at ringside as well. And so they did a stare off on the outside, but then Willow got in the way. Sky gave Statlander a drop to hold onto the steps. They go back in the ring. Sky hit a Canadian Destroyer, which I don't think we've ever seen, even though it's pretty much the same thing as a Code Blue. Rolled her up for two. Sky went to the second rope, but Statlander recovered, flipped her off the ropes. Statlander hit a DVD, but Blue kicked out. And Statlander does that WWE shocked face. And so she's in the corner, and she's like all shocked that she didn't get the win. And Stokely's got a chain, and he's like, come on, take the chain. The ref's staring right at them while this is going on, but she doesn't want to take the chain. And then the ref gets, I think it was Aubrey. I keep saying she, but I don't know if it was what it doesn't matter. The ref
it was Aubrey.
It was Aubrey. Okay. So yeah. The ref is arguing with Stokely about the chain. And while that's going on, Julia Hart runs into the ring, nails Statlander with her TBS belt. And then Sky hit the Code Blue and got the win. And then Stokely is on the outside, and he's got the boo-boo face on. And Willow had the same face as Stokely, even though the announcers were trying to tell us that Willow and Stokely were arguing. But they weren't arguing. Like, not that I saw, unless there was stuff that wasn't on camera.
No.
I've been saying all along that I think Willow and Stokely are turning on Statlander, and I'm more convinced of this now. Like, I think Willow was in on this, and she wanted her to use that chain, and she didn't. And someone's turning on someone.
Which would be a mistake, because people want to cheer Willow.
Totally, but...
Sky Blue hit a Code Blue from the top rope at an indie show this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for her.
The thing that drove me nuts, though, was Tony Khan congratulating Sky Blue on the win using the TurboTax move of the week or whatever synergy they're doing. I'm we're now celebrating the fact that someone cheated to win.
Yeah.
I just went, you know, when they used to do this for squash matches and stuff, at least the heel was facing a preliminary guy and hit his move, and that was the move of the week. Instead, we get the move of the week after Julia Hart knocks her silly,
which was included in the move of the week.
Yes.
It wasn't just the Code Blue.
TurboTax wants you to cheat.
Yeah. Well, there's something to that.
There you go.
There's a message there.
TurboTax is telling you.
Yes. Cheat to win on your taxes. Yeah. That's a good one. You know what? You might have clicked into some subliminal messaging there.
And when the IRS brings you in for the audit, you go, well, that pro wrestling show.
So this set up what for the pay-per-view?
Nothing.
Okay, just making sure of that.
Unless they're going to do like Julia Hart versus Statlander on the pre-show, the 3-hour pre-show or whatever.
So Statlander loses to Sky Blue to set up, and she gets a title match out of that?
Probably. I don't
know. How does that affect the rankings? Are the rankings dead already?
Are the rankings dead?
I think they might be. We haven't heard, I think 2 weeks we haven't heard about the rankings.
Because they alluded to, they haven't shown any of them, but no. They alluded to them like 2 weeks ago. And then
the last time we got them was when the Bucks had that fake graphic that said they were the number one contenders.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that was that. I think that's the last time they mentioned the rankings. Because I mean, you might be right. Statlander may get a title shot out of this, or Willow maybe. So here's where we went back to the Bucks, and they're looking for Sting, and they finally found his locker room. These freaking EVPs are dumb. They don't even know where their guys dress, but they finally found the locker room, and then Nick's about to go in, and Matt says, hold on a second. Remember, you saw that promo last week. He's out of his mind, and he's crazy. And he says, if there's one thing for sure, nothing's for sure, so we got to be ready here. And then Nick's like, yeah, okay, we're ready. So they go in, and there's a bunch of black bats hanging, and there's a mirror there, and they stare at the mirror for a godly long time, and that's it. This whole thing was to lead to them finding a room full of baseball bats.
For a member Barry sing on Sting's last promo from Nitro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which is fine. I don't mind that part.
It's a callback.
I really don't mind that part of the callback.
Except, how many people do you think knew that?
Everybody who's trust me, everybody knew that because everybody's online and everybody knows things.
I didn't know that. Oh, I knew it looked familiar.
I didn't watch the last Nitro because I'd already tuned out by then.
Well, I watched what they showed on Raw.
Yeah, you know. Shane in the ring. Yeah,
I don't even know if they were even airing Nitro anymore in Canada by that point.
Okay.
I certainly wasn't watching live. Yeah, but so when I mentioned bats hanging from the ceiling, and I said they were black bats, there I should also mention there are baseball bats hanging, even though like I think the symbolism is that they're bats.
Yes,
you know, it's clever wordplay.
Way to explain the joke.
Yeah, I don't think it was supposed to be a joke.
I don't either.
It was supposed to be brooding, and Bucks were supposed to be worried.
Actually, I think it was just supposed to be a reference to the last Nitro. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. So we got our in-ring main event of the Go Home show for Revolution.
Yes.
Chris Jericho and Atlantis Jr.
We've already talked about this match. Can we just move on?
Well, yeah.
I liked the match overall. I did. It just they kept changing who was babyface and heel throughout the match.
Okay. So, I mean, I wrote down a bunch of stuff, but
Jericho tried to tear off the mask, and then
Atlantis
tried to choke out Jericho with the towel.
Yep. He sure did. Less than 2 minutes into the match, Tony Schiavone says, and I quote, this is a direct quote, and I'm not sure who he was talking about. He's executing some very, very good moves very, very well. I swear to God, that's what he said.
Why we pay you the $1 million a year.
Yeah, that's, I mean, right up there with what a maneuver. I wrote down three different points in this write-up of all these moves. What is the point of this match? Like, so the whole idea was Jericho wanted this match from the second that they announced the CMLL partnership, right? They told us that over and over again. Why is it happening tonight? Like, why did this match have to, I'm assuming it's the only week they could get him in or something, but maybe they could have done it on Rampage or Collision.
Can I say something?
Or not? I think
possibly because as a favor to Jericho, because he's not on the pay-per-view.
He is on the pay-per-view. They announced him. Yeah.
Doing what?
Yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to it.
Oh, God. Is he part of that gauntlet match?
He's part of the formerly known as Meat Madness.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Then I have no idea.
Yeah.
Other than it's near the southern border. And so maybe it would be
Birmingham, Alabama is close to Mexico.
I don't know.
I don't know my geography, but
I don't know wrong Alabama geography, to be honest with you. So let me take a look.
Okay. So
Birmingham to Mexico. Oh,
yeah. They actually, during this match, they promised that they were going to show on Countdown. They're going to show New Japan footage of Sting. So that's kind of cool. Just looking to see if there's anything interesting. There's at one point that there was a very light, this is awesome chant. I wrote down that those people were lying. Jericho, do you see the one spot where he did the 10 punches in the corner and he threw like punches that Hulk Hogan would have told him to lay off?
Yes.
Like those punches were like.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then, yeah, they did the spot.
We've now become AEW is now in some ways while they're trying to quote unquote regroup and get all this talent that they're going to sign in for this new push for number one or whatever. It's become a vanity fed for the legends right now.
Oh yeah. You think?
Edge? I know. I'm just saying.
Edge, Edge is going to put over all the young guys by beating them. Danielson is going to wrestle all his Japanese heroes.
Right.
Jericho's wrestling Atlantis Jr. on the go home in the main event of the go home show for a pay-per-view.
The clout vampire has come back. Yes.
Just because, you know, and then Tony's just going to sign every free agent that WWE doesn't want.
Yeah.
I that's not fair. He outbid them. That line was not fair. Strike it, delete it. Garrett, if you're listening, delete it. Okay. He outbid WWE for Okada and Ospreay and Sasha and everyone else.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has money to burn and they're going to burn it for him.
The only, you know, it actually the other way. The only people WWE gets is the guys Tony doesn't want. So, yeah, He went for the Judas Effect. Junior reversed it, and he did something called a La Antina, I think, or something like that. Atlantis was going nuts at ringside. Jericho countered out, put on the walls of Jericho. And Atlantis Jr. tries to make the ropes. Oh, no, I gotta do this. So Jericho puts it into the Lion Tamer. Before he's even got this move in, Atlantis throws in the towel. And the Excalibur puts over, oh my God, there's no way Atlantis Jr. would have given up. So he did, he had to save his son and blah, blah, blah. This was like a second he was in this move. Like, I guess they got the go home call. Like, I'm assuming this match was long. It was boring. It was pointless.
And the ending was dumb.
You said you liked it.
Like is a strong term.
Okay.
I was not offended by it up until the end, where he has him in a airplane spinning backbreaker move, and all of a sudden Jericho can reverse it into the walls of Jericho.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
What a great champion.
And why does Jericho need this win? That's the other thing. I mean, we're not going to do
build up for
crap with these CMLL guys, are we? Because we still have a AAA relationship to think about.
Well, and CMLL, who can't send any guys in now.
Yeah. we're putting all these guys on TV just for them to, next time they go to Mexico, they won't be able to travel here.
Remember like 3-4 months ago when, you know, we had all these matches with like El Hijo del Vikingo and Commander and Roosh and Penta and Rey Fénix and all these guys that they were building up, and they're doing all these great moves. You know why I haven't seen any of those guys?
Because the CMLL.
Because we got to see Hechicero and Soberano Jr. and Atlantis Jr.
No, we're gonna put all the AAA guys now on Ring of Honor.
No, because it can't be the same show. And Ring of Honor is taped on the same thing as Collision.
All right.
So yeah, like these guys are all getting paid to sit at home, which I'm sure they like.
Nitro era again in so many ways.
Remember the C2?
No.
The Cruiserweight Class or the
Continental Classic. Yes.
If I'm to be believed, I think Eddie Kingston won, so he got over. Daniel Garcia is the one that got one win, and that's all he talks about. Everyone else in that tournament might as well not even existed. Roosh got a bunch of wins. We haven't seen him. Andrade is over in WWE.
doing promos. What am I going to be now? It's
like, Brody King is, you know, he's around, but he got wins.
Yeah, he's doing his house of black garbage.
But, like, I don't know what, you know, but yeah, the Daniel Garcia got one win and it changed his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Atlantis checked on Junior after the match. And man, I got to say this, Atlantis Junior sold that.
Atlantis Junior was selling like an Academy Award winner here. I'll even go.
Did you think he was going to low blow Jericho?
Al Pacino saying, you're laying it on a bit thick, Atlantis Junior.
Did you think he was going to low blow him? Like, it
shouldn't look
like it. I
thought they were going to turn on him. I thought the two of them were going to beat him down.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. But no, Jericho helps them all up. The crowd gave polite applause. Jericho Atlantis.
Hey, we both cheated on each other. Good game.
Good game, yeah. This goes on forever. Oh, and I didn't point this out at the beginning.
I'm hating this show more than I thought.
I almost tweeted out at the beginning, what's up with this Jericho entrance? But I knew better. Because he didn't come out to Judas. He came out to some weird, I think it was
White Zombie.
Yeah.
That's White Zombie, kids.
And White Zombie's playing after this match forever. And these guys are in the ring forever.
Yeah, like, it felt like Angle was coming. And I thought like maybe the CMLL guys will invade and beat him down or something. Nope, no.
Well, maybe they were supposed to, but their visas didn't clear. So Excalibur mentioned that we got a huge weekend coming up. And then he starts his rundown. So the former Meat Madness is now a scramble, some sort of superstar scramble, I think they called it. It's a 9-man thing. I wrote down the Jericho, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Wardlow. So I think
they're gonna do a gauntlet match.
No, I think it's just a scramble. A scramble is everybody in the ring at the same time, right?
Oh, thank you. No, you're correct. I was trying to figure out what a scramble was.
So it was either Rampage or Collision. They put up a graphic for Meat Madness.
Yes.
And it was Wardlow. It was Hobbs. Lance Archer, and it was Hobbs.
Yeah,
and that was it. So everyone who assumed it was a battle royal, like as we did, then they saw that graphic and they thought, oh, it's just a triple threat. But then Tony Khan says, due to multiple injuries to competitors in the Meat Madness, we're putting that on ice and we're going to have a superstar scramble instead. And then the three people that he's advertised for Meat Madness are in the superstar scramble. So I don't know what the hell's going on.
There must have been some people that were going to be in the match and now are like a surprise. But who's a surprise that's a big guy? Jeff Cobb?
Or they were just going to announce things. But, I mean, what difference does it make? They didn't announce anything. So why didn't they just, you know, I guess because some of these guys aren't meaty? Like, you know, because out of the names, I mean, the only one, well, Jericho and Hook are the two. So why don't you just take them out? just do Hobbs, Archer, you know, Wardlow, Cage, and find some more guys and just keep Meat Madness.
I like, figured it out.
What's that?
Cheeseburger wasn't available.
Oh, yeah. Well, then they're going to have a qualifying match on Collision to get the last spot in this thing. And it's Penta and Dante Martin. So that's fun. So he's doing his rant. He's doing his rundown. So he mentions the 9-man scramble, which is on Revolution. Then he says on Rampage, we're going to get Magnus and Matt Sydal. Okay. And then on Collision, we're going to have Penta El Zero Miedo and Dante Martin for the last spot in the superstar scramble at Revolution. Back to Revolution, we're going to have Will Ospreay and Takeshita and FTR against John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli. But first on Rampage, we're going to get Rugdio against Claudio Castagnoli. Who's Rugdio? I don't know. You tell me. Then we're back to Revolution. Eddie Kingston and Danielson for the Continental Crown and Tony Storm and Deonna Purrazzo for the AEW World Women's Championship. But first on Collision, we're going to hear from Tony and Deonna. Then back to Revolution. Like he's going over this. Like,
and there's an 8-man tag in there that is the most random thing I've ever seen.
We'll get to it. So I swear Tony Khan must have just been throwing this stuff at him while he was
talking. Who is Magnus? Because all I think of Magnus is Nick Aldis from TNA.
Magnus, it's Magnus, and he's a CMLL wrestler.
Thank
you. He was on the recent Fantasticamania tour. I've seen him a few times. He's not bad. He's what you would expect.
I'm sure he's good. It's just one of those things where it's like, you're going to get Magnus versus...
Against Matt Sydal, for some reason.
Wow.
Back to Revolution, Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong for the international title, the TNT title, Christian Cage and Danny Garcia. But back to Collision, we're going to get Orange Cassidy, Trent, Hook, and Daniel Garcia against Brian Cage, Killswitch, Roderick Strong, and Christian Cage. So two Cages on the same team. And I assume Killswitch will probably be added to that scrap. He might have even been in the scramble. I don't know. And then back to Revolution, triple threat match, Hangman Page, the liar Hangman Page, as they've now christened him, against Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland, and Darby and Strong against the Jacksons. I think we're not allowed to call them the Young Bucks anymore. I think they're Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, AW EVPs.
That's so fine.
That is the card. And we'll just give our quick predictions once we're done this rundown. But so Excalibur's finished that rundown and he went through it way faster than I just did. And they introduced the Bucks and the Bucks come down and they're all in their glory and they found some fans at ringside in sting masks and they start taunting them. And it turns out Darby's one of them and he attacks them, but he quickly gets his ass kicked.
Yes.
What a baby face.
Yes. Now continue through this whole thing.
So Excalibur asks, where's Sting? And I wrote down, they've been advertising all night. There's 4 minutes left in the show. Where is Sting? And Matt's choking out Darby with a bat. And they set up the EVP trigger. So I figure, okay, Sting's going to make his save. Nope, they just hit it. And then the crowd is hating this. They're booing. Matt attacks him with the bat. Nick's celebrating. Crowd's booing. And it looks like we're just waiting for Sting. And Matt starts calling him out. But instead, we get Ric Flair. And he does his whole entrance. And keep in mind, like we're at the top of the hour at this point. And he wanders out to the ring. He's smiling, does his strut. People are wooing.
Taking his sweet ass time getting that ring. Yeah.
Bucks are still attacking Darby. Rick threw off his jacket And he's dressed like Will was
you
earlier.
Might call this a run-in. I call this a shuffle-in.
He's Kermit the Frog that wasn't on leg day. And he's wearing green shirt and slacks. And Rick took a bat from Matt Jackson, and they're all like, yeah, hit him. But instead, he poked Nick in the eyes, and he punched Matt, and they sold it comically. But then Nick low-blowed Flair, and they start attacking Flair. Fans are chanting for Sting. Nick Jackson celebrating. And then finally Sting's music hits. So the Jacksons are all ready. They go up on the stage. They got their bats. They're waiting. And the crowd, like the camera is like focused on them. Like, so the camera is on top of the ramp. And so you can see the ring in the background. And you figure, okay, Sting's going to come out from the crowd, or he's going to come under the ring or something. And then all of a sudden they shoot to the sky and Sting's up in the rafters. So it's a callback to WCW. And he descends from the rafters and the fans are going nuts and the Bucks are still waiting. And then eventually they turn around and they see him and they're all scared. But like, what difference does it make? He could have come in through the ramp.
Or
he could
have one.
And then he comes out, and Darby's come too by this time because it took forever. And Sting intercepted with the bats
forever.
And he beat all of them with your own bats. Darby did a coffin drop. Fans are chanting Sting. He gave Nick Jackson a death drop, and then Rick came too, and the Bucks just walked away.
So let's play a game here. If this were real.
Yes.
Your plan. All right, Darby, you're going to go in this crowd and you're going to wear a Sting mask with these other guys, and they're going to make fun of you for wearing the Sting mask. And then you're going to take the Sting mask off and you're going to get the crap beat out of you for a while. But don't worry, Ric Flair's backing you up. Because obviously when they have you on the ropes, they're going to call out Flair to do something to you. And then Flair's going to come in and save the... No? Okay. They're probably going to beat the crap out of him. And Darby's probably listening to this plan and go, okay, when do you come down and even the odds? Oh, I'm glad you asked. After they're walking away from beating your ass and beating Ric Flair's ass, then I will come down from the rafters to save the day.
Yeah.
This is where my problem was. I was just watching this and my thought was, are they setting up Darby for a heel turn here? Because that's all I was thinking when they were stomping the crap out of Darby and Sting's not there to help.
Why couldn't Sting have propelled into the middle during the attack?
Exactly.
Why do we have Ric Flair involved in this at all?
Yes, because the Ric Flair spot should be in Greensboro.
Yeah, and I still think Rick's probably going to turn on Sting in the match.
Yes, he's going to. You know what he's going to do? He's gonna, oh, you know, I saw the error of my ways, Bucks. Now I'm going to help you. He's going to fail. And then they're still going to hug at the end of that. Oh, Rick,
oh, yeah.
You old scallywag.
Scallywag, yeah, yeah.
This made no sense.
Bucks, like, I mean, they literally walked away on their own power. Like,
and
they
I'm getting
even
screamed
beat.
At on Twitter by 15-year-old morons who tell me to enjoy the show. just watch your wrestling. It's not, you know what they've done is they've incepted the entire Vince McMahon thought process where it's not supposed to make sense, combined with the work rate of, you know, I'm just doing this for my spreadsheet so that I can vote in the top 10 at the end of the year with a bunch of other people. It's the worst of both worlds for me, Paul. That's my problem here. It's like, I'm watching this. I'm going, if this were a fight, look, I wanted to see Darby and Sting getting into a fight with the Bucks and getting separated and going, okay, we're going to wait until the end. And I'd be hyped for this pay-per-view. And instead what I got was, hey, remember Nitro?
Or again, you could have just had like Darby gets attacked and then Sting could have rappelled from the rafters right then.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
but he needed the room to land is the problem here. So they had to clear everybody out so he could land safely.
While we're waiting for Flair, like
Flair comes out and he's supposed to be coming down there to hinder him. And we know Sting's in the arena. So there's no no sense of urgency from Flair. He's just standing, and then he starts to do the strut, and he stops, and then he just shuffles. Like
you know what?
He's shuffling down to the ring.
I just thought of something that would have made this so much better, I think. You know that last scene with the Bucks where they saw his room? And yes. They opened the door and they went in and they saw the bats hanging, and it was just a nice visual for the Nitro
drop
for anybody that remembered.
Arena.
So Matt and Nick do that little speech and they say how worried they are. Why don't they barricade the door so that Sting can't get out?
And make the crowd angry that they don't get to see Sting but for then the last time.
Why Sting didn't come out right away, but then he's actually in the rafters.
And that's also a callback to a Clash of Champions where they locked Sting in a room. I would have minded that.
Yeah, like at least that would have, you know, because then you would have been one. Maybe Sting isn't going to come out. The announcers could have said, oh, Sting was scheduled, but the Bucks locked him in his room.
Oh, we got the doubt thing now with him and Darby too? Okay, I can dig that. No.
Well, not Darby. Like Darby, you know, Darby knows
Flair Sting. Flair locked him in the room.
There you go. But Darby knows where Sting is. Like, so, you know, we don't have any doubt with Darby and Sting. Like, Darby, you know, Sting told Darby, you hang out at ringside and get your ass kicked. And don't worry, I'll show up.
I locked Sting in the room so I could take on the Bucks by myself, said Flair. And then he just beat the crap out of him. No, I just, this, you know what this was? This was somebody in a room, if this is a writer's pitch meeting, going, wouldn't it be cool if we reference this? And wouldn't it be cool if we reference that? And wouldn't it be cool if we and then everybody in the room is going, yeah, that'll make people excited and people clap and things like that. And it's like, yeah, but it's not making any sense for the story here, guys. I don't mind the member berries. I don't. It's just you gotta put a little bit of thought into this, other than just we're referencing stuff to pop you. It's the worst kind of scripting.
All right.
Okay.
Let's leave. We got 10 minutes. No. Let's run down this card. So I'm just gonna go off of Excalibur's rundown here and skip the Rampage and Collision stuff. So, 9-man scramble. Do we even care?
Hobbs wins.
I would say Wardlow.
Or Wardlow. Sure. No, you're right. It's Wardlow.
So I'm okay. And the reason I was going to do this is I
forgot betting Wardlow odds. Was in it.
we have betting odds, and on the betting odds site, they have Meat Madness listed as a 3-way match.
Okay.
Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Lance Archer. So Wardlow is actually the favorite here at -2,000, 20-1. So. But now that it's a 9-man scramble, who knows? Might be Jericho. I don't know. All right. Will Hobbs and Takeshita. Who do you got?
You mean Will Ospreay and Takeshita?
Yes. Will. Too many Wills. Will Ospreay and Takeshita. Who do you got?
Ospreay.
That's what I'd say as well. I've seen people say that Takeshita might win, and then, you know, because he may be going for the world title soon, and then Will Ospreay eventually is going to get the world title, and then they can go back to this match. But
no, what's going to happen is Don Callis is going to try and interfere on behalf of Takeshita.
Okay, and it's going to backfire.
Yes.
Will Ospreay is a 50-1 favorite, so he's most likely going to win. FTR against Moxley and Claudio. And I would think the winner of this is going to be in line for a tag team title match, but I've got FTR in this one.
FTR isn't losing in Carolina.
That's a good point. Blackpool Combat Club is actually the favorite, but it's almost a pick 'em. They're at -160 and FTR is at +120. So it's almost a pick 'em.
I think that'd be bad business.
I agree. And I think FTR is better served to challenge for the titles. I mean, they might be vacant after the main event, or if the Bucks win, then FTR Bucks. You can always go back to that. Eddie Kingston, Brian Danielson for the Continental Crown. I got Eddie.
Yeah, I think Brian would split Eddie over.
All right. That is almost a pick 'em as well. Eddie is -150. Danielson is +110. I think if you're betting Eddie Kingston at -150 is real good odds. So if you're a degenerate like me and want to bet on wrestling, throw some money on Eddie. Tony Storm and Deonna Purrazzo for the AW World title, women's world title.
In what world is Deonna Purrazzo going to win this? There's no way.
Too bad, but she's going back. She's going to Ring of Honor after this, I think.
Yep. Set up Tony and Mercedes.
Yep. Oh yeah. Speaking of which, hell of a build for big business, eh? Have they announced anything for that show?
No, but it's 2 weeks after the pay-per-view, so they're fine.
All right. I should also point out that you and Garrett are going to be doing a post show.
Maybe. After, if he's awake. If I'm awake.
Oh, yeah. 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 This is all right. But yeah, so if you guys are both awake and if the show doesn't go 6 hours, yes. Garrett Gonzalez and Jeff Hawkins are going to do a post show on the YouTube channel on Sunday after Revolution. I would join, but it's a work night for me, and it's going to be like 1 a.m. by the time you guys finish recording, and that's
going to be 1 a.m. my time by the time we finish recording, probably.
No, well, then that would be 3 a.m. my time, and then yes. I'm definitely out.
Yes.
All right. So yeah, I mentioned, yeah, Tony's a 7-1 favorite. Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong for the international title. Now, my gut says I would go with Orange Cassidy, but what do you say?
God, that's a good question. I think Roddy needs it, but I don't think he wins it.
He is a 6-1 favorite, believe it or not.
Roddy?
Yeah.
Some chicanery with Wardlow or Adam Cole, and then they're gonna start giving them the belts.
I think Wardlow wins the scramble. I think Roddy wins the belt.
They're gonna establish him as a big heel group. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, and I think Wardlow is going to be getting a world title match.
Because soon. The streak doesn't matter for Orange Cassidy anymore.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, no, I'm good with that. Let's go with Roddy.
All right, TNT title, Christian and Daniel Garcia.
I think Adam Copeland makes an appearance and accidentally spears Garcia. Christian retains.
Yeah, and then eventually that leads to Edge and Christian tagging up.
Possibly, yeah.
My prediction is Edge and Christian against FTR for the tag belts at Double or Nothing.
That sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah. But Christian is a slight favorite. I mean, not slight. He's minus 260. Garcia's plus 180. I could see Garcia winning, honestly. And Edge could interfere and it could backfire, you know. But
Copeland, yeah, also a Carolina guy. So
true. Yeah, that's right. What else we got? The world title match, Hangman, Joe and Swerve. I think Joe retains. Yeah, Joe retains. Joe's a 12-1 favorite to retain. Swerve is plus 450. Hangman is 20-1. So no one expects him. I think Hangman eats the pin. And I mean, there's a possibility. I hope they don't try to be too clever with this, but there's a possibility that he loses on purpose. So just so that Swerve doesn't win.
Swerve can't win.
Yeah. I don't know if they would do that or how you would even do that.
Boy, that wouldn't end the pay-per-view badly because that's not going to be the last match. So we're fine with that.
True, yeah. And then what I assume is going to be the main event, Darby and Sting against Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, the Young Bucks. Now, believe it or not, I got to find these odds to make sure I'm right. The Young Bucks are 7-1 favorites to win this. I can't see how you beat Sting. Like, so if you're betting on this, like, I would definitely throw money on Sting and Darby at 4-1 to win. But,
you know, back when I've now watched two Sting retirement matches, TNA and WWE, the one with Seth, I thought was going to be the end.
Oh, yeah, right.
He lost both of those. I believe.
But neither of those were they sold as his retirement match.
No, but everybody thought, well, the TNA one was.
Yeah, but it's TNA.
I think Sting is so old school, he'll want to put somebody over on the way out.
And whatever he wants, Tony's going to grant him.
Yes. I think Tony's going to beg him to have the nice moment. And I think Sting's going to say, no, that's not how you do it.
And then you can get FTR against the Bucks coming out after the tag
titles. Yeah.
So you're going with the Bucks. I'm still going with Sting and Darby. And then they just vacate the belts.
I won't mind it. Yeah. I will not mind it at all. You know, I figure some WCW people will be there, like Luger, maybe Arn.
Darby can pick a partner. He can go get AR Fox to be his partner.
Yeah.
Nick Wayne.
Copeland. Oh, and then and that's how he gets to Christian is that they turn on Darby.
Yeah, there's a possibility. I think they're this is going to go down to the wire about who's going to go over, though. I think they're going to try to convince Sting not to, and then it's going to be Sting's call. You know, of admit, you know, I'm sure that when they do a documentary on this years from now, we went to the ring not even knowing who was going to win. That's what they're going to tell us.
But you know what? I was just saying, you know, okay, Darby and Sting win. Darby picks Copeland as a partner. Copeland then ends up taking Darby's belt and giving it to Christian. So Christian now has another belt that he didn't actually win.
Oh man, that would be funny. That'd be good. Yeah.
I'm still excited for this pay-per-view, even though this show had some issues.
I am too, just because I know the matches are going to be good. And I'm looking forward to Sting's last match. And
I'm doing a pre-show and a post-show for this thing.
Oh, you are? Oh, yeah, so you're doing one on Voices of Wrestling?
No, I'm with Mel on the...
On the Power Bombshells.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I mean, if I'm not too tired, maybe I'll join you guys, but I may be too tired.
No, I get it.
Yeah. It depends when the show ends, honestly. Like, if it goes till midnight Eastern, then no, I'm out. But yeah, so that's that. That's the show, and we'll be back. So yeah, Big Business in Boston, 2 weeks. Hey, remember when they announced that thing? And we were talking about it, and I made the, you know, Big Business in Boston joke. I did not realize that they had the name in the graphic. You, I think, might have mentioned it.
I did.
I didn't see it. I noticed it yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, like the BOSSTON in the corner of the graphic. Like, it's kind of weird that they haven't announced anything for that show. They mentioned it once tonight on the thing.
They're not doing as hard a sell as they could, and that shocks me.
No, but I mean, they've sold 6,500 tickets, so I would think if they announce Mercedes, they might get, you know, they might get 10, but I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I mean, I think anything over 8 is a good crowd, you know, for that.
For them, yes.
Yeah, and honestly, for, you know, not just for them, I mean, 8,000.
Well, no, but crowd. I mean, if it was SmackDown, they'd instantly sell out. Or they'd get close.
Especially if they teased Mercedes or Sasha. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll see. That's 2 weeks. next week will be the go home for that. I imagine we'll get the hard push next week for whatever's going to happen on that show. But that's that. So, Jeff, plug away.
For right now, I'm at Crap Game 13 on Elon Musk's X. We'll see if I don't delete the account by the end of the week. This week, I also do a show on Voices of Wrestling called Shake Them Ropes. This week, a lot to talk about. I'll be talking a lot about Ole Anderson. I'll be talking a lot about one Mike Jones, alum of the University of Virginia. Maybe even a little bit of Richard Lewis talk, too. May he rest in peace. Ice cold thoughts on the Elimination Chamber. Preview of, what's this called? Revolution. Yeah. And, we'll see if Chris watched anything this week. So that'll come out sometime this week.
I watched so much stuff this weekend.
I have watched a lot of wrestling this week.
From Thursday on, I watched ROH and Honor Club. I watched TNA No Surrender. I watched Rampage. I watched SmackDown. TNA Impact.
I was doing a Sting deep dive, so I watched like Beach Blast, '92 with.
I watched Bianca and Sasha from WrestleMania a couple years ago. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't have anything else to plug other than this show. That's all I'm doing right now. So tune in next week. I'll be back, hopefully, if I don't get fired. So for Jeff, I've been Paul, and this has been the Dynamite Show.
I'll do better next week.
Later.
Promise.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.